Amen. Amen. If he said no, I probably would have done it anyway. So thanks for being cooperative. You know, don't ask me how to spell that. It starts with some letters and ends with some letters. But anyhow, Matthew chapter 27 is what, can I move it up? If I get too close, it's on my tie. Just hooking on my beard. How about that? I'm never going to get invited again. Pastor Billy's going to say, why did I let him come when I was out of town? You know, but who do you think I would act any different if he was here? Probably not. Probably not. Matthew 27. But it's good to be here with you all today. Brother Brad says it right. We are definitely, I sit here thinking. I do that sometimes, but I do my best thinking in church. Ginger, I think this is the longest we've been back east in 10 years. Think about that. We've been in the east since September. We were in a missions conference in South Dakota on the Indian Reservation, had a great time there for about a week, and then we left there and really haven't stopped since. And we won't be back in Wyoming until 5 days before the end of hunting season, which is November 15th. And so pray for us that we get there and we have a good hunting season. You know, we got 5 days left, you know. And so you think I'm kidding about that, but I'm not. But so Matthew 27, look there in verse number 22. What I want to do today, and we got about a little bit of time here together, and I just want to give you some things that's just simple. I like keeping the cookies on the bottom shelf because, you know, it's too much effort to reach up top, you know. And so I like to keep them on the bottom shelf. Simple message today, simple title is, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? It is a very simple thing. If you hear me ask that question, you're probably hear it once more throughout the message. But look there in verse number 22 of Matthew chapter 27. Verse number 22, we're going to read several verses and then come back through and we'll walk through the chapter together and in a very timely manner. But Matthew 27, verse number 22 says, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Verse 23, it says, and the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Drop down to verse number 46. Don't seem fitting to read this passage without reading this part, or at least part of this account. Verse 46 says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, listen to me now, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And verse 52 and verse 53 is no lie. Listen to me. Listen to these words. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which behold Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto them. Verse 56 says, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, which also himself was Jesus' disciple. And then for verse 58, and he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Let's pray. Father, we ask the Lord just to here to help us today. And Father, it's a great privilege to be here this morning to preach to these great folks. Father, I pray, Lord, my goal is very simple, is just to preach Jesus. And Father, I pray, Lord, just let Jesus be resounded today. Let the truth of Christ ring true in our hearts today. Father, for we that know Christ, that are saved, that are born again, Father, let us be so encouraged to go out and tell other people about Jesus. Father, those that are here this morning, whether in the building or in the media audience, Father, those that are not born again, that are not saved, that are not washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that today will be their day of salvation. And Father, we sure will thank you. Bless as only you can. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said already, my goal was very simple today, is just simply preaching Jesus. And with that being said, we see Christ in Matthew 27, where literally at the last hours of his life, we see him facing the cross, and we see him on the cross, don't we? And then we see him come off the cross, and we see him buried in the tomb. The Bible declares that he is nailed to the cross, he is crucified, and then he dies. The Bible declares that he is buried, and of course, if you didn't know this, if you read beyond, he resurrects from the grave. He's only there. It was a borrowed tomb because he didn't need it permanent. He just needed it for a few days. And so he's there. He comes back to life, and he truly, truly, truly lives today for us. And don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over the fact that we serve a living Savior. Jesus Christ is coming again one day to get us to be with him. Man, oh death, where is thy sting? All because there's the empty tomb. But not because of the empty tomb, but because of the Christ that was in that empty tomb. You know, what a victory we see that in Christ. But you think about this. Think about this morning. And again, I'm just a backwoods feller. And the victory that Christ had on the cross and the grave and gives us our salvation. Can I tell you something here this morning? That same victory is what he can give us today. We can have victory through the finished work of Jesus Christ today. All because of who he is. Not because who we are, because let's face it, we don't bring much to the table. Well, let me say it a little bit more truthful. We don't bring anything to the table. Preacher, that hurt my feelings. Well, I didn't mean to, but I'm not taking it back. We don't, do we? It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We don't have to live in defeat. With everything that our Lord Jesus Christ offers today, with everything that our Lord Jesus Christ is today, what Christ can do in our lives is really and truly up to us. Up to us yielding to him, yielding to the Spirit of God in our life. And it's really, if we want to go forward for Christ, if we want to have victory in our life, it's up to us. It's up to you and I to just say yes to Jesus. Just say, yes, Lord, whatever you want in my life. Do you think, you know, people say, oh, man, you had such a great faith planting that church 10 years ago. And you know, I tell you, it's a whole lot harder departing that ministry than it was going to that ministry. And Pilate says in verse number 22 is where we get the question. Verse number 22, it says, what shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do then with Jesus? Well, let me put this in our modern way of speaking. What will you do with Jesus? And can I just say it the way I want to say it? Us backwoods, redneck folks, what you going to do with Jesus? That's a question that we all have to come to a conclusion on. We have to have that answer. What you going to do with Jesus? Every person that will ever live, that has lived, that will live, will have to come some way, some form, to answer that question. And there's only one correct answer. In this chapter, we see seven, don't pass out. We see seven possible responses. I'm going to hit them quick. Don't, you know, I ain't going to go that far past lunch. You didn't get a body like this for skipping lunch, you know. And just seeing if you're listening. So we get seven possible responses. We got six bad and one proper response. And let me just run through this with you right quick. So the question is this: what will you do? What will you and I do with Jesus? Let's start there in chapter 27, verse number 23. Excuse me, verse number 3, rather. Number one, I'm going to get, some of these will be longer and shorter than others, but number one, the very first thing that we can do with Jesus, we found in Judas. Verse number 3, verse number of chapter 27 says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders." Now, this is just a snapshot of what took place. We know that Judas betrayed Christ in the garden, and he betrayed him with a kiss, and the powers that be, so to speak, said, "Hey, we'll pay you 30 pieces of silver to point him out for us and kind of lead the way, so to speak." And so we see verse number 3, we see the kind of the aftermath of that, if you will, in part. So number one, the very first thing we see, what you're going to do with Jesus. Number one, we can try to replace him with stuff. Here we see Judas betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm sure you do. Jesus is more valuable than 30 pieces of silver. He is more valuable than anything that we can come up with. But here we see Judas says, "Hey, I'm going to sell him off. Judas, if you read Judas's account, you know it didn't turn out too well for him, did it? He was hanged. Actually, he hung himself, actually, and don't want to get up. I find that account is very, very detailed, you know, about how he died. Well, nonetheless, we see here that Judas says repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver. We can try to replace him with stuff. Judas regretted that action. The Bible says he died and all that. But I tell you, every person on this earth, whether they're in America or the other side of the globe, everyone is born with a heart, with a Christ-shaped void in their life. And many times people try to fill that void with different stuff. Judas tried to fill it with 30 pieces of silver, trying to get him out of the picture, you know, all that stuff. But so many people try to fill, you got substance abuse, you got this abuse, you got this. What's going on? Well, they need to be saved, many of them. And they're just trying to fill that void. Many are trying unsuccessfully to do that. Let me ask you a question. That void can only be filled with Christ. Let me ask you a question here this morning. It's very simple, preaching about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Have you ever been born again? Have you been washed in His blood? Are you using anything right now to replace Christ? I tell you, if we are, if I am, or if you are, just as in Judas's life, it's not going to end out very well. Christians, you and I, where is Christ at in our life? Is He where He needs to be at in our life? Or have we placed something else in that place? I tell you, to know Christ properly is to put Him first in our life. If He ain't first in our life, something's wrong. You may be here today and you know Jesus as your Savior, but something may have happened in your life. Isn't there always a story? There's always a story. You know, it's like you ask somebody, you know, this, and like, there's a story coming. You with me? There's a long story, and sometimes you got time for the story. Sometimes we just don't care, do we? You know, but you know, sometimes we stop serving. Sometimes we stop doing. Sometimes we stop reading our Bible. Sometimes we stop because there's some event that took place, and we're allowing that event to hijack our walk with God, our time with the Lord. Let me tell you, folks, there's nothing worth replacing. There's nothing more valuable than putting Christ right where He needs to be at. So number one, sometimes people replace Jesus with stuff. Number two, sometimes what you're going to do with Jesus, sometimes people try to take Him out of the picture. We see in verse 22 and verse 23, they're all in one accord. Hey, let's crucify Him. Let's just get rid of Him. Crucify Him. They're trying to get Him out of the picture. They say, hey, what do you want to do with Jesus? Verse 22, they say, crucify Him. Then Pilate says, hey, why? What has He done? Notice that question goes unanswered. Then it says, let Him be crucified. They double down on that comment. They just wanted Him out of the picture at all cost. At all cost, they just wanted Him out of the picture. They didn't want to deal with Him. You ever met anybody like that? That just did not want to deal with Jesus. They wanted Him to go away. They thought He was a bother. They thought Jesus had no value. I say this nationally, globally, maybe locally here, many people are tempting to take Jesus out of the picture. But I tell you, you can't. You can't take Him out of the picture. You can try. You can make all the effort that you want. I mean, look at this. I mean, ever since Christ was crucified, they've been trying to take Him out of. Here it is, 2,000 plus years ago, we still got preachers proclaiming Jesus. Why? Because He is eternal. You can't kill someone that is eternal. Many places say it's unlawful to speak of Jesus. There's the 1040 window there on the other side of the globe where missionaries by name cannot go in. They have to go in by other means to proclaim Jesus because it is against the law to proclaim Jesus. But folks, the only way this world is going to come to Christ, the only hope for America, the only hope for this world is Jesus. Why is so many people trying to debunk Jesus? Because He is the only way. He is the only truth. The only life. He is the only way. Many do not want to deal with the fact that Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. And according to the book of Thessalonians, the Lord Himself shall descend. Jesus is coming again. The Jews tried to crucify Him, tried to get rid of Him. And it didn't work out too well for them. They crucified Him on whatever day you say He did. Pretty sure it wasn't Friday because there's not enough time there. Thursday was looking pretty good for Him, wasn't it? Yep, He's still in the grave. Friday comes around, He's still dead. Saturday comes around. You know, this is the guy that killed, remember? And then Saturday rolls around, then He comes early, still yet dark, Sunday morning. Something's rumbling down at this grave. Something's happening there. Why? Because they couldn't you can't kill Him. He resurrects from the grave. Some people just try to take Jesus, try to take the things of the Word, and just get rid of them. That's one response that you can do with Jesus. What you going to do with Jesus? What you going to do with Jesus? We need to move on here. Number three, verse 24 and verse 25, we see Pilate. Number three, we can choose to do nothing with Jesus. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. A lot of thoughts right there in verse 25, but I'm going to keep moving. Pilate, by his actions, said, I'm going to do nothing. By Pilate not dealing with what he was talking about, he basically made an action of rejecting the things of Christ. Now we know this is all by prophecy. Let me ask you a question. I don't know if you heard me yet. What you going to do with Jesus? Preacher, I've been coming to this church for 100 years. Praise the Lord. Do you know Jesus? I've been baptized. Good. I'm a member. Good. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Preacher, this first time I'm here. I'm not sure about all this stuff. We'll come back next week. Pastor, be back. I'm this old backwoods preacher from Wyoming. But Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. Joshua says, for we as Christians, Joshua says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. That's me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. The fourth response that we can do with Jesus, what you going to do with Jesus? The fourth response, verse number 29, we can choose to mock him. We can choose to mock him. Man, it's recorded there. They mocked him. And they made fun of him. I mean, some things never change, does it? Some things never change. Turn the TV on. Go to school. Go to work. When people find out that I'm a pastor now, when I was working a secular job, boy, one or two things either happened. They either got religion instantaneously. They got real spiritual. You know, oh, my great-grandpa from Timbuktu was a preacher, you know, and I just loved him. Well, they go curse like a sailor over here, but or the other response was from spiritual to mocking. Oh man, then I became the butt. Then Christ became the butt of the jokes. Then the Word of God became the butt. They would go out of the way just to be. Can I say the word jerks? Because they were. Yeah, you know, they would go out of the way to mock the things of God. Let me move on. Number 5, verse 35. Verse 35. The fifth one. I told you it won't take too long. We're moving right along. On the east side. You shouldn't watch that still. Just kidding. Verse 35. What you going to do with Jesus? Some people profit from him. And they crucified and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Number 5, what you going to do with Jesus? Some people will profit on him or from him. Basically, we see they were gambling at the foot of the cross for the clothes of Jesus. They were casting lots. They were trying to make a profit. Well, some things really never change, do they? There's ministries just about everywhere you look that they're not preaching the Bible. I think Brother Barber mentioned that this morning during Sunday school. They're not preaching the book. They're not preaching Jesus. They're not preaching the gospel. They're giving enough truth mixed with enough lie just to make it sound right. But did you know that if you send them $5, that God's going to bless you? Hogwash. Hogwash. That's not true. Some people make millions. Feel free to go this route when it comes to Christ, but I tell you, just like all these other responses, it's not going to end well. What you going to do with Jesus? Can I give you one more negative? Can I give you one more? And this is. Can I use the word haunts me? I don't know if that's the right word or not. It gets me. Because as a pastor, been in the ministry for over 20 years, been out west for, well, about 18 years, I guess. My wife and I have been married, be 20 years this March, and 5 kids. I don't know. Anyway, I'm just going on now. But this last one, verse number 36, look at it. And sitting down, they watched him there. Y'all give me the same look that I have. You know, like, what does that mean? Exactly. That's what it means. They watched him. And sitting down, they watched him there. So the sixth response is that some people are just going to watch from a distance. They see everything they need to see to trust Christ. They know everything they need to know about being born again. Well, they're just watching. Well, let me bring this down to our front porch here this morning. What are they watching? Well, let me put it this way. Who are they watching? They're watching us. They've seen you run out that front door, slam the door behind you. They seen you slam that car door. Oh, wait, that was me. No, I'm kidding. But they're watching us. They're watching our cars on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, see where we're going or rather not going. They're watching us at school. They're watching us at work. They're watching us how we respond to stuff, how we respond to life. Now, some years ago, and y'all may or may not remember this. I'm not real for sure. Samuel was born. He's seven now, I think. Isn't that right? He's seven. I got so many of them, I get them mixed up, you know. I just call him number five, you know. But so he was born, and on whatever day that was, and then at the same time, it was spring, it was April, but at the same time, he was born on that day, and then the next day, Ginger and Sam were still in the hospital because, you know, it takes they keep you for a day or so, at least in Cheyenne. He was born. I was running the mail on the Saturday working, and so my mother-in-law calls me and says, hey, I need to get, something's wrong. Charity is hasn't had any since, hasn't had any before, but she spiked a high fever and was having seizures like crazy. I mean, I think we lost count of how many seizures that she was having. So Sam was born on that Friday. Charity was born on that, Charity had the seizures on that Saturday, and I rushed to the house, you know, from the mail route and go scoop my daughter up and take her in to the hospital, which was 30 minutes there in Cheyenne. And so that's all going on. I got one child in the, what do you call that section of the hospital? What is it? Nursery, yeah, that was so difficult. Got one child in the section of the nursery, the other child in the sick kid ward, whatever that's called. And so they're just doing all that stuff. Then I got another phone call, and I got one of my ladies in our church, elderly lady, and she's still with us. She's 91 years old, will be next month, and it's just a blessing. And this was 7 years ago. Her husband, she's wrestling her husband into the hospital with chest pains. He doesn't make it. He dies that day. So while one kid's here, one kid's here, I'm in the waiting room with this dear lady. All this going on. Preach, why you tell me all this? Just to feel sorry for me. It has no application at all. No, I'm kidding. But, after I finish with this lady, I go back to whatever room I was going to. I really don't remember. I was walking down the hallway in a hospital, and they says, you're Mr. Inslee. I was like, yes. I'm like, something's broke. I did something. My kids got loose or something. I don't know. This is, you're like Nathaniel Inslee, right? And you got a child. Now my heart's starting to sing. Oh, something's happened. You got a child here, right? And a child there. I says, yes, ma'am. And she says, I just want to tell you, the whole hospital knows what's going on with your family. And I don't really remember that she said that she was praying for us, but the thing that stuck out to me the most, folks, was this. She says, the biggest thing that we see is just how you're handling it. You're not blowing in the wind. You're not this or that. You're just handling it. You're calm. And as I was studying this passage of Scripture, they watched Christ there at a distance. Are you saying you're Christ? No, not at all. But I'm telling you, folks, people are watching us. Is that creepy? It could be. Some people need to be locked up, you know. But I'm just saying, people that want to know more about Christ, people that want to be born again, they want to check out the goods first. Can I say test drive the car first? Kind of go look it over? Well, that's what they're doing with us. So, preacher, what's the application here? Well, make sure you give them a good Bible version when they read you. Make sure you tell them about Jesus. More so, no, don't just tell them, show them about Jesus. Sometimes we, as His followers, don't always reflect real well the one we're following, do we? Can I give you the last point, then we'll be done? This is the good point. Verse number 57. And I usually don't preach much on implications, but I think this one is so clear, it's worth pointing out. What you're going to do with Jesus Well, the one and only proper response is found in verse number 57, and I give it to you, is we can just simply trust Him. We can trust Him. Verse 57 says, when the even was come, there come a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph. Could have ended the sentence right there, couldn't we? But comma, who also was Jesus' disciple. Well, that changed everything, didn't it? The last response, I believe, is our desired response. And I further believe that this last response is our only way to heaven. It's not just following Christ, but to ask Christ to be our Savior, to repent of our sins. And, well, preacher, how would you get that from verse 57? Because there's no other way to be the disciple of Christ unless we repent and believe in Him. The question here this morning is simply, what are you going to do with Jesus? Joseph of Arimathea could have had many other accolades, many other descriptive things behind him, but the Word of God says he was a disciple of Christ. What terminology, what phraseology would Christ put behind us, put behind my name? Nathaniel Inslee is a disciple of Christ, or Nathaniel Inslee wants to be a disciple, or can't figure out what he wants to do, or what did he do with Jesus to make him a disciple of Christ? As I mentioned earlier, he simply asked Christ to be his Savior. He trusted in Jesus for his salvation, and that is what made him a disciple of Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's Jesus, folks. I'm sure you've heard this before, but just in case you haven't, God loves you. Jesus died for you. Will you believe in Him? The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, says, for the wage of sin is death. But don't stop right there, does it? But the gift of God is eternal. Well, what is the gift? We just read about the gift of God. It's Jesus. He suffered, bled, or died on Calvary's cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb and resurrected 3 days later. That is the gift of God, that we should not perish. For the wages of sin is eternal life through Jesus Christ, or for whosoever. You know, I wasn't raised in church, and y'all probably know that. You've probably heard my boring sob story. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord, name of the Lord, shall be saved. You know, you've heard of the right side of the tracks and wrong side of the tracks. If this side is the wrong side of the tracks, I grew up way on that end of that wrong side. It wasn't just barely. It wasn't just right by the... We didn't feel the vibration of the train. We didn't hear the vibration. We were way... But whosoever will, James says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. I remember when I first came across that verse, Lord, me too? Me too, Lord? What you going to do with Jesus? If you never have, it only takes once. I hope and pray that today you can say, I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus. So Christian this morning, where is Jesus at in your life? In my life? Will you serve Him and put Him first? As I mentioned about Joseph and many, many others, will you choose to be His disciple? Can I tell you that we serve a great God? What are you, whether it's for salvation or for service, what are you going to do with Jesus? Let's stand for prayer.